Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atshalom. We're now in Masechet Bechorot Daf Chaf Chet Amud Aleph. This will be the second of three podcasts in this, the fourth parak. We're about to take a look at Mishnah Gimel. Hashochet Bechor Umare Et Mumo. So if you had an animal, if a Kohen had an animal, a Bechor, that he was convinced had a Mum, and shechted it, and only afterwards showed the mum to the Chacham confirmed that indeed it was so. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says you can then eat it. Rabbi Omer, Ho il v'nishchat shlo p'mumcha, since it was slaughtered without the prior approval of a mumcha, asur. So now, misha eno mumcha, this is now Mishnah Dalet, v'ro'et ha-bachor, v'nishchat al-piv, ha-reze yikaver v'shalem beito. And this will launch us into an interesting series of Mishnayot, about the role of a dayan, etc., who errs. But here, if somebody is not a mumcha, but passes himself off as a mumcha, he sees the bechor, pronounces it that it's a balmum, he does shech based on that, and then it turns out that he is not a mumcha, then it has to be buried, and he has to pay for the loss. Rabbi Rechana, bedukin shema'ayin dekuli amalo pligi da'asur. Everybody agrees that if the mum is one of those light mumim, like in the eye, then it is certainly asur to shecht in the first part of the Mishnah. If you shechted first and then he saw it, because at death they change, and therefore it could be that this was never balmum, and taking a look at it afterward after death doesn't prove anything. Rabbi or Meir disagree only about mumin in the body, like a broken leg or something. Rabbi simply says, because there are those mumin that even if when viewed after death indicate a mum, doesn't prove anything about what it was like during life, like the eye. Therefore, we make a gzera on all mumin. Rabbi Yehuda savar lo gazrin a mumin shabagof atu dukin shabayin. Rabbi Yehuda says we all make such a gzera. Tanya nami achri of a braita, shokhan a bachor mared umo, umav, Rabbi Yehuda omer bedukin shabayin asub ne shahin mishtanin. So there Rabbi Yehuda explicitly does say, in those mumim, they're aser. Mumin shabaguf mutam ne shainan mishtanin. Mumin shabaguf don't change with death, and therefore, if the chacham sees them now, that indicates that their mum was there before death. Remeyers omer achad zeh v'achad zeh asur ne shain mishtanin. Ne shain mishtanin sagadaitach. You think that mumin like a broken leg change at death? Mumin shabaguf mishtanin. Meha mishtanin. Not me shem mishtanin, but meha mishtanin. In other words, we decree that all of them are asur. That's Remeyers' position, because of those that change to hainu dukin shabayin. You could even see that in the Mishnah. You don't need that brighter. In other words, why is it asur? Because it was shechted without the approval of a mumche. So in other words, he's not saying that it's inherently asur, but rather it's a knas. It's a fine that we put on the guy for shechting it without prior proper approval. Good. Now, when Rameyer said in the Braita, in according to our fixed version, because of those that change, does that mean all of them change? Some cases of the eyes do change, some don't. If we said that they always change, then that means we have a certain fact that they change, and if Edim come along and say it's the same thing, we know these Edim are liars. If you say that some change, some don't, then you could rely on these Edim. My? Whereas if you have Edim who come and say, that's what he looked like before, if you say that all eyes change at death, then these guys are liars. If on the other hand, some do, some don't, then we can rely on them, and indeed, we should allow this meat to be eaten. Toshman Rachana Sachli Rabbi Yoshia Devin Ushe told me, Bovar Eka Badukin Chain Mishtanin, I'll show you some Dukin the change. Come on, Bovar Eka, he said, come, I'll show you, Michlad Deikan Mishtani, Ikan Lom Mishtani, some change, same don't change. Okay, the end of the Mishnah, Mishnah Mumche, Verata Bachor, Rishchat Alpiv, Harezi, Kaver, Shalem Beto, said, Lemet Nan, Stamek Reb Meir. It sounds like we are learning like Reb Meir, because Rameyer famously is doing Dina de Garmi and says when you cause loss to somebody, then you have to pay. The answer is no. Dylan Bedukin Shemayin V'Divrei HaKol. Maybe this is not like Rameyer. Sorry, this follows Rameyer because Rameyer is the one who says that if you shecht without a proper mumcha, that it is not edible. So it sounds like we're ruling Akar Meir with this now the beginning of Mishnah Dalet. The answer is no. Maybe we're talking about Dukin Shmayim according to everybody. Tanak Shuma Shalem Mishalem Revia Ladaka Umechza Lagasa. What do you have to pay? Remember, you're paying the Kohen. The Kohen got this animal for free. All that happened is he invested something in feeding and taking care of it. So you pay one quarter the value of a sheep or goat and one half the value of an animal, of a cow or ox. My time or Papa Zef said Muva, Zef said Muat. Because it's a large loss or a small loss. The Yachil Fum said Elishalim, so you should pay based on the loss. It's a different reason. Really, you should pay half. But because we have a gzerah against raising sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael, al yigadel adam behemat haka be'Eretz Yisrael, therefore, when the guy got the sheep or the goat, we fine him, and to minimize that interest, we say that you only get a quarter. Okay, the next part of Mr. Dalla, Dana Tadin, Zikata Chayav Chayavet HaZakai, Timet HaTahor, Tehir HaTameh, so you declared whatever you declared. And this is a Mishnah straight out of Sanhedrin. Masha Sasui, whatever your din is, it's done. This is called Toa B'Shikol Hadat, not Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. If your mistake was a matter of fact in Halakha, a matter of law, and red letter and black letter law, as it were, then the din is wrong. It's thrown out. But if you make an error in Shikol Hadat, then Masha Sasui, what you did, it counts. Vishalem Beto, and you, the judge, have to pay. But if you are considered an expert by the Beit Din, and you're a mumcha, then you're exempt from paying. Now, Lematan Samak Reb Meir, this is the other piece of Reb Meir, the Doin Dina de Garmi, Reb Meir famously is Don Dina de Garmi, it's a sugya in several places, about Dina de Garmi, where Reb Meir says that when you cause somebody else loss, when it's a direct cause, not like grama, you are chayav. For instance, sorev shtarotav shachavero, or ilam marav. So that sounds exactly like what happened here, where the chacham ruled that something was, let's say, tameh, and you had to destroy it. Really, was tahor. Ilam marav gonchina sabanatan bayad. Now we're talking about a case where the dayan took the money himself bayad and handed it over to the other guy. So based on a chayev et hazakai, that works when you made somebody pay who didn't have to pay. When it's a samanatan b'yad, zikat achayav, how do you say that samanatan b'yad when he exempted somebody who has to pay? There's no money, hechidami. So idem amrele paturat, if he said you're patur, halon a samanatan b'yad, there's no money to change hands. The case was where the fellow had a mashkon on the loan, and the dayan, physically with his own hands, took it away from him and gave it back to the fellow who really was chayav, and he exempted him, but he also handed it back, so the dayan did handle it. So it's not dina de garmi anymore, it's a full straight out nezek. Timet haTahor, how do you do that? The agabu sheretz, how does Timet haTahor? He took something and he said, this thing is tamei, and I'll prove to you it's tamei, and himself he took a sheretz and touched it to it. And Tiyar Tatame, how do you do that? Shirvan Imperotad, that he took the fellow's stuff that was really Tame, but he had declared Tahor, and he said to show you that it's Tahor, and he threw it into the rest of the guy's perot. So either way, the Chacham actually not only made an error, but handled the things with his own hands so that it really was a straight up Dina, not Dina de Garmi. Okay, Umasev Para, this is the next part of Dalad. Shinit Laha Aim Shalah, a famous case, where there was a cow that had its uterus removed. V'achilah Rebitafon LeKlavim. Rebitafon declared it a trefa, and he said it has to be fed to the dogs, which means the owners lost a lot of money. Uvama Savei Chacham Yavnei Tiruha. And the Chacham said, you're wrong. The uterus out does not make it a trefa. And what's the best proof? She'amar Todos HaRofe, the famous Theodore the doctor, said, Ein Parach Chazirai Yotzam Alexandria Shemitzvam Shein Chotchina Aim Shalah Shul Shalot Teled. Every time that they sell an ox or a cow or a sow from Alexandria, they remove its uterus because they don't want it to give birth. And they live prosperous lives, which means that taking the uterus out does not affect its lifespan. We see it's not a trefa, especially if you say trefa nachaya. So Tarfon said about himself, I just lost my donkey. I'm going to have to sell my donkey to pay for the loss of this cow that I declare to be a trefa. Rabbi Kiva, his younger colleague, said to him that you don't have to pay because you're a mumcha lebeitin, and therefore, as we saw in the Mishnah, early in the previous part of the Mishnah, you're exempt. So the Gemara just very briefly asked, typically the Torah B'dvar Mishnah, there's another reason. Rabbi Yutalfan's mistake was a mistake of black letter law. The Torah B'dvar Mishnah Chozer, the din should go back, and it should be that they didn't yet feed this animal to the dogs, so it should be that the animal is declared not a treifa. The answer is Chada Rod Kamar. Rabbi Kiva really said two things to Rabbi Tarfon. Chada, the Torah B'dvar Mishnah Chozer. First of all, it was a Dvar Mishnah. It was such an egregious mistake that your din doesn't even count. Even if you had been told only b'shikul adat, in proper interpretation or understanding or making a decision between two different opinions, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about shikul adat as being that. You're still a mumcha lebeitin. Mumcha lebeitin, part of the shalim, then you're exempt. So either way, you're exempt. Okay, now Mishnah Hay. If a guy takes money to see Bechorot, to see whether or not they're Balei Mum, ain't Shochtir Apiv, you can't rely on him. Elam Ken, Haya Mumcha Leki Ila B'Yavna. There's a fellow named Ila who operated in Yavna. And this Ila was acceptable. Why? She tirulo chacham liot notel arba isarot lebehem adaka v'shishalagasa. He took a price of 4 isarot for every sheep or goat and 6 for every ox or cow that he looked at. Ben tam uven balmum. That's the most important thing. He got paid the same amount whether or not it was a tam or balmum, and therefore he had no vested interest in declaring it to be a balmum or not, and therefore he was trusted. So now my time, huh? They just ask why it was 4 for Behemagasa and 6 for Behemagasa, and 6 for Magasa. The answer is that one's more tircha to look at. Okay, Bein Tam Uvein Balmum. So Bishlama Balmum, I understand Mishum the Kasharile. He's being matirit. Elatam Amai, what are you paying him for? De'im Ken, Atan the Mechshar Day. The reason you're paying him, even if it turns out to be a Tam, is so that nobody will suspect him. From Hai Balmum, Tamhu. Because if you declare it to be a Balmum and you only get paid for Balimum, then you'll say, people will say, it's really a time. Behind a kashari lay, mushum agra. He said it was a balmum because he wants to get paid. So yachi tam nami ami balmum hu, behind a kashari lay, sover kiechel lishko agra zivnachriti. So now we got a separate problem, which is, if he gets paid for everything, including a tam, maybe they'll say that it was really a balmum. He's declaring it to be a tam so he can collect his 4 or 6. He'll come back another time and declare it to be a balmum, which it really was, and he'll get paid double. The answer is Chazim no tikkun l'abanan, Trezim no tikkun l'abanan. The Rabbanan didn't allow him to get paid twice on an animal. So if he sees an animal once, if he's called back to see that animal, second cup is free. He gets a second, he almost has to do that for no pay. Okay, the next Mishnah, Hanotel Scharo Badun. This is now Mishnah Vav. Hanotel Scharo Ladun. Dinav betilim. If a fellow is paid, and evidently this means paid by the parties to judge, then his judgments are nothing. Lahaid, if he gets paid to testify, edutav betilim. His testimony is nothing. Lazoto lekadesh, if he's paid as a kohen to do hazar or kiddush mechatat, memav meyara, efaro efemikle. His water is like cave water, his ash is like nothing, is like regular ash. And if, let's say, he was a Kohen and you were bringing him to do this work, and by bringing him, you caused him to become Tomei, then you, the guy who brought him, have to feed him and take care of him. In other words, you do have to take care of him, but you can't pay him for his work. Let's say he was an elder. You have to give him a ride to get to where he's going to get to, for the din or for the edut, and you have to pay him for his lost time. So it's not that he doesn't get any money. The question is, who's paying him and for what? So, I mean, and it's a sugi basically at the end of Ketubot. Why is it that you're not allowed to take money for these things? Moshe says to Bnei Israel, see, I have taught you chukim mishpatim. Ma'ani b'chinam, and this is the sugi in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin, the whole thing about a mudar hanah, being able to teach somebody else's children Torah. Just like I teach you for nothing, afatem b'chinam. Or it means, just like I learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu from nothing, so I will teach you for nothing. Either way, Torah has to be taught for nothing. And therefore, dinim also. Tanya me'achi, kashet zivani Adonai lohai, ma'ani b'chinam, afatem b'chinam. So what happens if you can't find anybody to teach you? You have to pay. You have to pay to get taught. Talmud Lomar and Met Kenei, that the Pasuk of Mishlei says, go and purchase Emet. ומנין שלא אמר כשם שלי למדתי הבשכר ככה למדן הבשכר. So that doesn't mean that you should then turn around and say, well, I had to pay to get taught, I'm going to pay to teach. Talmud Lomar, Emet Kenevi, Al Timkor. What does the same Pasuk of Mishlei say? Buy Emet, don't sell Emet. Which means that even if you have to go and buy it by paying to get taught, that doesn't mean that you should still not teach for free. However, teaching for free, again, there's the issue of Scharo Kepoel, that you have to get paid for your lost time. And how do you figure that? So that, of course, is a complex issue. It has to do with payment for educators, etc. Okay, lazoto kadesh me'ram me'arav eifroi from mikla. Ramino, am a kadesh me'chatat be'eifro chatat harezu mekudeshet. We have halacha in the second parak of Kiddushin that if a man gives a girl me'chatat or eifro chatat harezu mekudeshetly, it has value and harezu mekudeshet al pishu Yisrael. Even though the guy giving it is the Yisrael, which is really irrelevant. Rabbi Elokasha, kan bischar havo milu kan bischar azav kiddush. You are allowed to get paid for schlepping and for filling the water, but you're not allowed to get paid for the mitzvah of hazah, and that's why this thing has value. In our Mishnah it said, if you take money for the act of hazah, in the piece in Kiddushin, it says if you're mekadosh b'mechatat, meaning let's say you brought it and you say the schar that I brought this here, I'm giving you that schar as Kiddushin. Shema mina. Okay. So, how is this guy going that he's being Matami the Kohen? The answer is the Beit HaPras to Rabbanon. He went to through a Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras, if you recall, is a field, we had this earlier in the Masachet, a field where you know that somewhere in that field there has been a kever that was lost. You're allowed to walk through a Beit HaPras and blow ahead of you so that any bones or anything that might be on the surface will become uncovered. If you have a Beit HaPras and you thresh the whole field through, it's Tahor. Or it could be other tumot that are there that Kohen's not usher to become Tame with. So the question is, how did this Kohen allow himself to become Tamei, that now you've slept him there to testify, and now you have to take care of him? The answer is, it could have been a Beit HaPras, or it could be that it was a Sheretz, or a Nevel, or something else, that a Kohen's not prohibited from becoming Tamei, but just to become Tamei, can't eat his truma now. Okay, we said you pay him like a Poel who's not working. The same malacha that he would normally be doing, that is what it means. So, for instance, Rashi says, if he was a guy who was cutting jewels, that is a very easy work on a person, he gets a lot of money for it, then he should get paid a lot of money because that's exactly what he would stand to earn. Okay. The next Mishnah takes us off into a direction which will take us till the end of the Perek, which is right now Mishnah Zayin. Ha Chashura HaBechorot. If a guy is suspected of not treating Bechorot properly, meaning a Yisrael who has Bechorot born into his flock, and then he sells them as regular animals, you're not allowed to buy deer meat from him, because deer meat looks a lot like cow meat. You can't buy pelts from him that aren't tanned. And the notion, the general notion that's going to go through this piece, is that a person will not work hard to try to develop something that if he's caught at, he's going to have to lose. They're going to make him give it up. He'll try to put a little effort into it. So if he sells hides that he hasn't tanned, they may be hides from Bechorot. If he's already tanned them, then we'll assume that they are not from Bechorot, because he knows if he gets caught, he's going to lose, and all that work will go out the window. He says you could buy skins that look to be from a female animal, because there's no Bechorot there. We'll see how that's read, but right now it means you can't buy white wool from him, or cleaned out wool. But you could take spun yarn and clothes. Again, the same principle. He's not going to put all the effort into it of spinning the yarn or making clothes if he knows that by getting caught he's going to lose it all. Now, Basar Tzvaim, the Gemara says, to Michlaf Bide Egla, that a deer meat could easily be confused with cow meat, and that's why you can't buy it from him. or Chinan Avudim, Havudim Zavnin, and why, but you're allowed to buy tanned hides. Because if it was really a Bechor, he would not have worked hard. As I mentioned before, if the Rabbanon catch me at it, I'm going to lose the whole thing. I'm not going to do a lot of hard work on this hide. You're allowed to buy if it's a female one. So my time, I made the idea. The answer is because you could see the hide, the way that it's shaped, was from a female animal. Tanakama, why wouldn't they agree? He came, if he'll take a male's hide, and he'll cut out right at the spot of the genitals, and he'll say, oh, the mice ate that piece. It was from a girl or from some other animal. You could see where it was mice. You'd see that it's not mice, and you know the guy's trying to trick you, therefore he won't try to get away with that, and therefore, if it's in the kiva, you could buy it. If you can't buy whitened wool, you certainly can't buy dirty wool, because he didn't do anything for it. And the answer is, it means tzemer, or wool that he cleaned out from its dirt. So that's not much work. That he'll do, even though he might get caught and lose it all. The answer is, my begadim nimti. Begadim means simple clothes that aren't woven, and tvai means spun yarn. Because otherwise it's a kal vachomer that if you could take spun yarn, certainly you could take begadim, because that's extra work he's put in. Okay, last piece we're going to see here is a chashad al shvit. If somebody's suspected of not observing Shemitah properly, you can't buy flax from him. Even if it's just combed, again, you can buy spun flax or woven clothes. The same question. So, my arig tichi. When we say arig, again, we're referring to the kind of garments that are made from flax that's not yet spun. Very simple, just like the nimti that we had before. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the final podcast in this perek in the next, when we meet next. But in the meantime, I wish everybody a wonderful day.